It feels so good to be making a difference in people's lives, right? That's just, it's like the best feeling to know that I'm here for a reason and I'm living my purpose. And we can all get better all the time and we can improve it. One thing that when Martha was speaking, it reminded me, there was a lot of stuff when I was telling you about the program yesterday that I completely forgot to tell you. And come talk to me and I'll tell you what it is because I'm not in the mood to talk about it right now. But there was a lot of little stuff like that. And the journals she reminded me of. We have monthly journals. And I can't promise that I'm, you know, reading. I do read them, but I don't respond to every single one. But when there's something special there, I'm responding. And I want that. As much as I want to grow this school community, I want still to have that special touch. And right now, as you come in, you know, we're in the first half a decade of the program. There's that connection that I can make with you, that I can be there for you and get to know each and every one of you. And how do I get to know each and every one of you? You have to show up, right? If you just signed up and your name's on a list somewhere in our database and you don't show up for the calls, then how am I going to, you know, equate? I'm like, Glenn, is this person in our program? She goes, yeah, she signed up. I said, did she just sign up? Is this a new person? No, she signed up 2 years ago, but she just hasn't, she hasn't shown up yet. She may be doing it in the background, and that happens a lot. That happened in our programs for our clients. This one woman, I'm like, she never showed up for any calls. I'm like, how's she doing? She came to our Spring into Vitality event. She came gushing over all the changes that we'd been, thanking me for all the changes that I'd made in her life, and she didn't show up for the calls. So, but she was doing the materials, and she was reading the emails, and she was watching the videos on recording. But the reason I say this is I love the connection. I love getting to know Susan and Louisa and Lynn, and I'm going to be getting to know, and Jill, and I'm going to be getting to know you guys, you know, Carrie and all of you. I really want to know you on that level and really understand your business. And when you come to our calls and you ask a question about your own health or your brother's health or your daughter's health or your son's health, that's how you learn, and that's how I learn about you, and that's how I know that you are competent, and I want you to be one of our coaches in our inner circle, which we do, you know, once a year we start a new inner circle, and we bring in coaches, and it's like an internship the first year, and you get to work with a senior coach, and then the next year you come in as a gold coach, and then you can come in as a private coach, and you get paid, because we hire you, and we've hired, how many of you in this room have we hired and are paying, right? So a whole bunch of you, right? Yeah, and some of them back there. And because you're a value to our community, and I want to hire back. And we have plans for expanding our private coaching offerings, you know, that where people say, hey, I want somebody that will match. And we do it right now. Lisa's one of our most frequently requested coaches, and we do that. But if somebody comes in and they really want to learn how to make food and do yoga and, you know, fix their bones, I'm going to refer them to Karen, right? And it's all within us. You don't have to do the billing or the marketing or any of that stuff. You just have to do a good job and keep me posted on how people are doing. And I do keep tabs on all those folks. And that's what we're creating. And I want that to get back to the personalization of healthcare, right? In the old days, when you went to the family doctor, you know, the doctor's wife was in the office, and the staff knew you, and they it was just this family thing. Our doctor came to all of our weddings, right? That it's not like that anymore with HMOs and PPOs, right? It's not like that. And I want us to be able to maintain that, right? And to leave a legacy. This is not a school that's going to just, you know, have this short lifespan. We're creating it to leave a legacy. And then to train some of our probably youngers, they have to be younger than me, because I'm not going anywhere for a really long time. But to train the youngers as they come in, for me to train them to be able to teach other practitioners, right? And to be able to be at that elevated level. And we have quite a number of MDs in the program, and those will be, you know, ideal candidates for helping to do those case study calls when I'm no longer doing it. But like I said, I'm not planning to go anywhere, but I want this to live generation to generation. I want this to be my legacy, right? And that's the way it's going to move on. And I want people to come in and join us who are invested in that, who are like so committed that that's what they want. This is the mission. But not everybody has the courage and the tenacity and the ability to work, or the willingness to work so hard to create this. It's been a lot of work to create, and not everybody has that. Some people just want to do the work with people. They don't want to be able to have to do that. So I want to create a forum for people who don't want to go out and market their own business to have a platform for offering their services within our business, right? So that the Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology becomes a huge pillar in our communities, right? So that's what I see for the future of this, and that's what I see for the future of healthcare. And, you know, I see every one of you in this room, and there was anywhere from 80 to 100 people throughout the weekend, and then you guys on live stream, I'm talking to you too. There's another 80 to 100 on live stream, right? If each one of you over the course of the next year helps five people, you can do that. That's not hard to do, whether you're having an active practice that you're having people pay you for, or you're just doing it in the community. That's 1,000 people whose lives we've touched, right? Is that amazing? And then if those people just happen to tell their friend or their grandfather or somebody about what they've learned, and that person makes a change, it's a ripple effect. And the ripple gets really big. And I don't care how small the stone is that gets thrown, that stone has a ripple. And think of yourself as you're the center of that ripple. And what do you need? What do you need to be able to get out there? So this next section is meant to be, now that you've been here for the weekend, what's your next steps? Some of you, we already know what your next steps are, right? Stand up. I wanted to see, because I haven't kept track. Stand up if you've decided that you're part of our community moving forward. If you don't mind, I just wanted, because I saw at lunch, but then a whole bunch of you came in after. Yeah, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. And I look forward to getting to know each and every one of you on a really deep and personal level, not just on a superficial level, right? Because that's not how I roll. Okay, so here's the thing, some of the objections. I'm kind of an introvert. Who would believe that? And the definition of an introvert is, how do you recharge, right? So I'm always on the border of introvert, extrovert. If you see me on stage and out there, you think, oh, she's like the major extrovert. But after being like this, I'm like, I just want a couple of days of, I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to be by myself. And so that's where it is. I get energized by being here. I'm not like a true introvert where you come and, like, at the end of every day, you got to hole up and get quiet. No, but I have those introvert tendencies. So I say this because you don't have to be an extrovert to create a thriving business. What you do have to do is get comfortable with discomfort. Say that again. Say that after me. Get comfortable with discomfort. And I don't mean get comfortable with having your leg hurt or your stomach hurt, but get comfortable with the discomfort of knowing that in order to make a difference, there's some things you're going to have to do that aren't currently within your comfort zone. And when you get comfortable with the discomfort, what that does is it expands your comfort zone. So getting up on stage doing my first three-day live event, I'm like, how am I going to talk to these people for 3 days, and what am I going to say, and what are they going to think of me, Now I get to drop into what impact do I want to make with you? How do I want to change you? Whether you like me or not, I'd like you to like me. But whether you like me or not is not part of why I'm here, is to get you to like me. It's to get you to be inspired enough to take the brilliance that's living inside of you here and here, right? We were just talking about that heart connection is probably more important than the head connection, right? Because you've got to get people connected in order to motivate them. But to drop into that and to motivate you to take action, to take action. And if that's why I do this at the end. I want to know how you're going to take action and do something with what you've learned. Because if you just go home and you file away your notes and you just go on with life as it was before, this wasn't successful, right? This wasn't successful. So we're going to go through some strategies, and I would love it if you wrote down earlier, and I'll ask you to pull access to those during the lunch, and I want to hear some of those. And then I would love it if you're willing to turn them into us with your name at the top. Because what I'd love to do is follow up and see, like in 30 days, are you actually doing something with this, right? So and I just also want to say, if you're like, I really want to be in this community, but I'm not quite ready. I'm not quite sure how. I'm not quite sure how it's going to happen. I want to tip my toes in. I just want to tip my toes in instead of, you know. So we have ways to have you tip your toes in, ways to go in up to your waist, and ways to go in over your head, right? And it won't be over your head for a while, for all that time, for all forever and always. You know, suddenly the water's down to here, and you go, oh. I'm going to go in deeper, right? So if that's the case, go in the back and talk to one of the coaches, and they'll talk to you about some other ways that you can dip your toes in at this point. So success, plan, strategy, all those words, right? Word clouds are fun. That's what we need. We need a plan in order to be successful. And I just want to share with you, when people come to you with their limiting beliefs about, I can't do that at my age, you know, so I'm expecting to have arthritis at my age. I'm expecting that I have reflux at my age. I want to share with you some of my inspirations. This woman's 92. You could still go on YouTube and watch her do this at age 92, right? So when your clients say, I can't go for a walk, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that because of my age. It's not because of your age. It's because of the way your body has been dealt with. She's 94. She actually has the same birthday as me. She just has a few years on me. But I want to be like her when I grow up. I want to be doing that stuff. I can't do that stuff now, so what makes me think I could do it then? But I want to still be doing the stuff I can do and I love to do then. She's actually, I think she's a little older. I think this is an older picture, but I looked her up online, and she actually has a website, and she has actively doing yoga classes. Isn't that beautiful? 105, cycling, right? And I think that this man did pass away at age 108 or 9. I don't remember, but he's still running marathons, races at 107, right? We don't have to deteriorate. You've got to get rid of that limiting belief in you. Oh, I'm too old to do that, right? I'm too old to health coach. I'm too old to start a practice. I'm too old to lecture. I'm too old to, you know, go back to gymnastics or whatever it is you love, horseback riding. What did you say? You did a half marathon a few years ago, right, Janet? She did a half marathon in her late 60s, right? Never done it before? She was 69, okay? Don't ever use age or take that as an excuse. Help people to reprogram those beliefs, because it's possible. And again, if you want to have this new career, or you want to change your career or shift your career to be able to see more people and go online, and you want the resources and the help to do that, definitely talk to us. If you're concerned about the cost or you're concerned about the time, have a conversation. I'm going to hang out after here. Team is going to break down. I'm not helping. I'm not helping break down. Let them know. I'll just sit around and we can chat and we can get a picture taken and let me help you to move this forward. So there's our chart. So take out your charts. And what I want, I think the way I want to do this is I want you to first identify in that first column, which is your own health, what stands out as one or two or even three things that are most compromising you and your health. And I'll kind of walk around and help you. Do you guys mind if I take my shoes off? I'm not used to wearing shoes or clothes, even for that matter. Usually yoga pants and a tank top or a bathing suit. All right. So who sees something in that first set, the self-care, that needs to be addressed? Raise your hand if you're seeing something in there. Keep your hand up if you're willing to share it with us. Okay. Oh, you're not, Vesta. Why not? Okay.
All right, exercise.
Okay, exercise. You used to be the big exerciser. I can talk to her that way because I know her for a long time. So what's holding you back?
That's the problem.
What's holding you back?
Just losing my momentum, my moving, losing my routine.
Losing a routine.
My rhythm.
Okay. When did you used to exercise? Was it morning, afternoon, evening?
Afternoon.
Afternoon, and how often were you doing it?
3 to 4 times a week.
Okay. Were you doing afternoon outdoor exercise in Texas?
Mostly indoor.
Okay. No, I was going to say, I have an easy solution for that one.
No.
All right. Do it in the morning or the evening.
Not,
right?
Oh, in the summer, no.
No, in the summer you didn't. Okay.
Oh, gosh, no.
Okay. I do it sometimes, and I actually had to call my husband one day recently to pick me up coming up the hill because I went out and I didn't realize it was 104, and I didn't drink enough water before I left, and I'm going up the hill, and I'm feeling dizzy and woozy, and I'm like, oh, no. And I'm like, I wonder if he's home. Will you come pick me up? And yeah, well, it was only a mile from home, but he came pick me up. So, yeah, we do have to be careful with that stuff. Okay, so what do you like to do to exercise?
I like lifting weights, and okay. I like getting on my bike to do my little Mercola Peak burst.
Awesome.
Thingies.
Okay, and that takes not very long, right?
No, that's...
Okay. So the question is timing or time to do it? Like, oh, it's going to take me half an hour. I don't have time.
At this point now, it's even remembering to do it. It's like it's just fallen off the radar, which I'm kind of shocked that that's happened. But
okay. Does anybody have any suggestions? And pretend she's your client sitting across from you. Any suggestions for how to get it back on the radar? Like how to remind herself? She said she didn't remember, so...
Because at the gym that I was at, as soon as I retired, they had a competition.
Yeah.
So everyone in this new athletic center was challenging one another to participate in every single class that they had, yoga, spinning, whatever. So I thought, oh, well, why not? I love competitions. So I ended up winning the competitions. Most people had 100 points.
Whoa.
I had like 560.
Oh, why?
And I say that not to be proud. I mean, sure, it was great. I worked out really, and I was considered the animal. And I didn't tell anyone in the competition how many points I had. Everyone was sharing how many points, but I was embarrassed because I had too many.
Okay, well, hold there, because this is a coaching moment.
So my point is...
No, hold there. Hold there, because I want to hit this moment, and then I want to hear the rest.
Okay?
Are you okay with that?
I'm okay.
Okay. Who are you to not shine because you're afraid to other people are going to feel bad? Who's ever been in that experience where you didn't want other people to know how good or how well you did something because you didn't want them to feel bad, right? Depending on how you present it, it can be really motivating and inspiring for others. If you go, nanny, 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 I have 500 points and you only have a 100, or you go, 100 points, I have 500, yeah. But you say, wow, you did 100 points, that's so great. I would love to encourage you to, let's do a little, you know, let me help motivate you. I got up to 500. Or you have somebody who's struggling, they didn't even get to that part. You go, would you like to do more? I can share some of my tips with you. Because we are going to be in a position, as the coaches, as the doctors, as the naturopaths, as the practitioners, we are in the position where we know more. And that's a good thing, because we don't want to wallow in the mud with them, right? How much good can we do if we're wallowing in the mud with them? None. So take pride in that and use that to help elevate them. You're going to know more than them, right? All right, I needed to say that because I hear that a lot. People are afraid to shine because they don't want other people to feel less than. So turn your light on, baby, and let's keep going. So that was motivating.
So that was very motivating for me, and I continued after the competition for a period of time until, you know, I have a 70-year-old body here. So, I mean, your joints and aches and pains and adrenal fatigue, I wasn't
okay, I'm going to stop you there, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop you there, too, because you have a 70-year-old body. That's not why you have those things.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? It has nothing to do with it. I don't plan to have those things when I'm 70.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's because I'm going to choose not to.
Right.
Those ladies in those pictures doing gymnastics, right?
In their 90s.
In their 90s. Okay, so we have to not let people use their age as an excuse,
yes.
Right? Their age is not an excuse. It's some things, some mistakes you made along the way that didn't support your body, and my body's out of balance because of some things I did before I knew better, and now that I know better, I have a plan for shifting it. Is that more empowering? And one of the things I'd encourage you to do with your clients is that you ask their permission when you first start working with them to call. If I hear you say disempowering things that I think are hurting you, do I have permission? Do I have your permission to point it out to you in a gentle, loving way to help support you? Because you know what? Your subconscious hears what you say. Your subconscious hears every word that you say, whether you're saying it in jest or not. And you've got to teach your subconscious that you have this ability. I will never say, if somebody says, how are you doing? People say, oh, I'm so tired. I am not tired. I am never tired. I am always Rita Marie. Okay? I am power. I am Rita Marie. I am not tired. I feel tired. Feel is a temporary thing. I feel tired. I feel joyful, I feel energized, I feel. Feelings come and they go, and they come and they go, right?
That's right.
I am, like, that's pretty permanent. I am. So catch yourself when you start to say I am in something negative, right? I am. It's changing your subconscious mind. I am tired, okay, therefore, like, I'm gonna fall asleep now, right? As opposed to, I feel tired right now, and it's probably because I didn't get enough sleep last night. But I'm going to go do a little burst exercise because I know that that can give me some energy. Or I'm going to go, you know, drink some water because I may be dehydrated, right? Or I'm going to go have some cordyceps and ashwagandha because I know they're adaptogens, and they're either going to put me to sleep right now because that's what I need, or they're going to energize me right now, right? I am is a... So you... Your body has been, and it's not 70 yet. You said it's 69.
No, it's really, yeah.
You're not quite 70.
It's definitely not age.
No. I understand, but you misspoke, but your subconscious heard it. Right?
Yes.
So this beautiful 69 and a half year old body, right?
Yes.
Has had some really good things that you did with it and some not so good things.
A lot of abuse.
And here's your turning point. Here's your turning point. So what are you going to commit to doing?
So my advice to you and to myself is to really take care of myself. I've never done that. I've always cared for others. I'm a single parent of three children. I was in two abusive relationships.
Right.
So, you know, adrenal fatigue takes its toll. Very busy practice for 30 years on a treadmill every 15
minutes.
So,
but what are you going to do? So I'm going to take care of myself is vague.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't measure it. You can't know when you're there, right? So what's something that would tell you that you're taking care of yourself?
I'm not only nutritionally taking care of myself, which I have basically always done, but I would suggest a routine that I have to get back on the wagon, and at 8 o'clock I'm going to do this, at 9 o'clock I'm going to do that. Because then if it becomes automatic, it becomes a habit.
Becomes a habit. Okay, awesome, awesome. And can I add something to that? Yes, let's give her it. Thank you. Mwah. Thank you for allowing me to, because it's not meant to, you know, embarrass you.
No,
it's meant to support you.
Oh, that's great.
Right?
No, I love it.
Okay, good. I'm going back to Susan, and I'm sure a lot of you relate to this, whether it's with exercise or with drinking your water or something along those lines. So have you ever heard of a cell phone?
Barbara just reminded me about the alarm on the cell phone. And so when I first did Sweet Spot back in
2017, yeah.
Like that, I had, what did you tell us to do? 8 bursts a day or something crazy like that?
8 30-second bursts a day. Now, come on. 4 minutes of exercise a day. Who can handle 4 minutes of exercise a day?
No, but I
right? Okay.
But it was like 8 of them. And so I had these alarms going off on my phone 8 times a day to burst.
To do it.
But I forgot about that.
Forgot about that.
Just reminded
Thank you, Barbara.
Me. So I will do that.
There you go, your first client. Okay, so we're going to make this easy. Are you willing to give her a dollar for that advice?
Sure.
Okay, give her a dollar.
Oh, now I got to keep up with
it. For tax purposes. Okay. Now your seminar is tax deductible. She gave you 5. So you have your first paying client at this event. Therefore, this event is now tax deductible. Okay? You see how it works? See how it works? Right? The alarms are so great. And I know cell phone and radiation, and she's going to give me a hard time to tell people to set their alarms. But it works. And it don't have to keep it on you. Keep it on the other. No, that's true. You don't have to have it. Yeah. Yeah. Airplane mode will do an alarm. Yeah. Okay. So this is something you can guide your clients to do, right? And you can do for yourself. Get it? So if you, whatever one you have that's the most compromised in that self-care, I want you to circle. And we'll come back to it and make it an action plan. And Bobby has a comment or question.
No, I have a comment to make. So, guys, in December, I will be 77.
Woohoo!
Okay. Look, I'm a hero where I live, and I'm a hero because people come up to me all the time and go, I want to look like that when I'm 77, and I say, it's no accident. This didn't just happen.
Thank you.
This happened, I got blessed enough to be a hippie and change my diet when I was young, and then I got blessed enough to start studying medicine when I was 38 in a field that I knew if I didn't look like it worked. No one was going to let me stick pins in them. But more importantly, I had to have, at 72, I did need some knee surgery, and I knew, being in the field, I knew that the physical care that I took, surgery was secondary to the care, physio care I took. I was the only person in the in a top grade physical therapy person for place for knees and hips that actually wanted to do the job. And I made them put on an extra day of physiotherapy because I knew, they told me, if you don't do it now, you will be stuck crippled the rest of your life. So all I wanted to say was, like, it's worth it. I just think, you know, if you take your own health into control and you start it, you vibrate. The keto diet has done even better for me. I've felt more energy. I exercise an hour a day.
Awesome.
I work moderately a lot. To be very honest, I pretty much take it easy. I live in not really such fresh air, but I do the best I can. But it's just a matter of mindset. And
it's
a matter of want to be that person that people come up to in the street and say, wow, you know, you look so good. And I proudly say that I'm 75 or 76 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I just wanted, I hope it's encouraging.
Yeah. It's not an accident. People say to me a lot, like I'll be at a family gathering and a cousin that I haven't seen in years, or my husband's family gathering with a cousin I've never met before, and they go, wow, you're so lucky. You look so slim and trim and fit. And I'm like, luck? Luck? This is not luck. This is work. I eat well. I'm conscientious about what I eat. I run. I do weights not as often as I should. I have this new thing with Mercola, has this thing with the blood flow restriction. I got the things. I'm going to try that. That's amazing. I just talked to Dr. Wilson, Dennis Wilson, who did the, he does the T3 therapy, and he has a book coming out called Faster Size, and he's teaching about how you can actually shiver. So if you can't go exercise, you can use shivering and, like, contracting muscles really hard and, like, end stretches. You don't put some stuff in. You get to the point where you go, and it actually, he's measured, it raises insulin levels. I mean, lowers insulin levels and lowers blood sugar levels and raises growth hormone is what I wanted to say. So there's a lot of cool things that are on the cusp that we're going to be doing some, you know, additional trainings and all that kind of stuff to get out to you guys. Okay, so everybody just take your personal care one and circle it. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to go to the middle section. And in the clinical skills, like, are there specific tests you're really good at? Are there specific tests that you're not so good at? Are there specific areas of the body that, like, wow, I know digestion inside out, and, not sure about adrenals, right? So go ahead and in that section, just which are the areas that you feel like you need the most help? One or two up to most three. And just circle the ones you think you need the most help in. Yeah, don't go there. It depends. I'll just say it depends. I'm not a fan of allergy testing. I'm not a fan of allergy testing. No. I mean, I do it, but I'm not like routinely. I think there's other ways to clean up and then do allergy testing if it's not clear enough. Most of the time, if you're going to do allergy testing on someone who has a leaky gut, who has a bad diet, and who is continuing to throw fuel on the fire, everything's going to show up. They get frustrated beyond belief because there's 27 allergens. It's all the foods they normally eat. Of course it's all the foods they normally eat because they have a leaky gut, and the foods they normally eat are getting into their bloodstream. So I'm not a fan of that. Now, what I would do is have somebody do an elimination diet, and sometimes the provocation is not so clean and easy, but you do an elimination diet, you work on leaky gut, and they're still having some issues. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's sometimes when I eat a meal, this still happens. Then you can do an allergy testing and get some good response. Cyrex is good. There's some other labs that are good as well. Stool, my favorite is Doctor's Data. I just like the report, and I've been reading it for, dozens of years, so I'm used to their report. When I get into a Genova one, people come in with a Genova. It's a similar response, and it's a very good test, too. I'm like, which page is that on? Where's the pancreatic elastase? Where's the short chain fatty acids? Where's Doctor's Data? I actually read one time we were on an NEPT call, Lynn and I. We were traveling across country, and we were going to stop for the night at a certain time to make this call. The transmission blew out on the car, and we were stuck in a parking lot, and called in on Zoom and said, hey, we're in the parking lot. We can't see you. We're on the phone, but we're waiting for a tow truck, and it's probably going to be hours. You know how tow trucks are. We're going to do this call, and somebody had a stool test. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to stool test without. So I'd go, okay, go to page 3, and what's that number? Go to page, and I just kept asking them, and I'm writing it down, and I analyzed their stool test on a call because I'm so familiar with it. Now, had it been a Genova, I would have went, like, where is it? Or the new GIFX people are doing, not GIFX, GI mapping, GI map, biome, yeah. So I have mixed feelings about some of these, right? But I'm used to Doctor's Data. I'm really familiar. It's very comprehensive, and I've gotten good results with, at doing that. But that's just the thing. If you get used to certain ones, it's like, I can still read the other one, but not on a Zoom call in a parking lot when I can't see it. Okay? But there, I was like, oh, wow, I really know this test well. So anyway, so what's some of the things that you need help with? And what we're going to do is we're going to combine this. I'm going to do the third column, and then we're going to go back to what you talked about at lunchtime. Because I want to know how we can support you with the next steps, but I also want to see where the shortcomings are, like where you're seeing that you need extra support.
On the body balance, how are we supposed to rate if we don't know what we don't understand?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So we put down body balance on your own, digestion, blood sugar, et cetera, but it's kind of more subjective at this point. Now, when you get in our program, you're going to have all kinds of resources that have testing and what tests to do, but also our physical, our assessments. So we talked earlier about that assessments module or unit that we're offering as a standalone. You're going to get access to all of those forms that we use and be able to test them and use them with your client to determine where they are, but also use it with you to determine where you are and where you need the most work. When in doubt, start with The gut, right? When in doubt, start with the gut, and maybe do concurrently with that or right after that, blood sugar, right? Because those are just so critical. If you don't have good blood sugar and good gut function, there's no way your thyroid's going to function, right? There's no way that your adrenals are going to not be like all the time. So we do have to start with those. So you can do the assessments or you can start with that. But a lot of times people don't have gut symptoms, which is what you'll see when you look at our gut assessments, which we have on the page for you, some of our tests, the ones that we promised you related to this. So I think there's gut, there's a body systems, and then there's a hormone systems that we put on the page, this page. But in NEPT, we have all of them, including bone and liver and et cetera. So what we see is that some people don't have gut symptoms, but there's symptoms that are often related to gut issues, like chronic skin conditions, eczema, psoriasis, right? Brain fog, that could be related to the gut, right? Those candida produce a lot of acetaldehyde, which causes brain fog and extra ammonia in the system. So it's really looking, that's a good question. So going on to the second, the clinical piece, I'd love to have anybody want to share. Well, first of all, does anybody in the clinical piece have areas that they don't feel really completely 100% comfortable with? Yeah, pretty much everybody. Who's willing to share? Who's willing to share one? Well, Susan, somebody else. But I'll come to you if nobody else volunteers. Who wants to share one of the clinical areas? Okay, Chandra. And it's delivering babies isn't on this, so yeah. She passed that one with flying colors for sure.
I'm aware of the most of the functional medicine studies, but because of my current practice, I don't get adapted to them. So I love the organic acids. I've done them on myself and a few of my clients, but because I don't do them frequently,
don't do them enough.
Yeah, I can't get it. Like you got the doctor's data.
Yeah.
Stool test.
Yeah, and organic acids is a complicated one.
Yeah.
So you have to do a lot of them, and you have to have a lot of practice doing them, and that's why we do case study calls where everybody brings in their things, and I'm going through them and through them and through them, and so you get to watch. You know, and that's very valuable to be able to watch, you know, me or somebody else go through. And after somebody's been in the program for a while, and they come to a case study call and they think I'm going to read their person's labs, they got something coming to them. Because they're going to read it, and I'm going to just help them fine-tune it, right? Okay, so what do you think? And what do you think is going on? And what does this marker mean? And I will tell you, on the organic acid, is it not the organic? Oh, it was the Dutch, what we were talking about before. We see a lot of people with 5-alpha reductase deficiencies. Anybody familiar with that enzyme, 5-alpha reductase? Right? You are. It moves from, in one case, one area, it's testosterone down into either DHT or eicosanoline or whatever the other metabolite is, and alpha or beta side. And people that have excess of this enzyme called 5-alpha reductase will move that down the alpha reductase, that pathway, and end up with more DHT, dihydrotestosterone, which is kind of challenging for men who want to keep their hair and their prostate intact, right? So, but we had one guy, it was a guy or a woman, but one of our coaches came on with one, and she says, this is a little odd, I've never seen somebody like really on the 5-beta side. Usually you either see them neutral and balanced or 5-alpha predominance. And we're like, what the heck could that mean? So what do? On our calls, we do get on Google and we do pull up studies and we start to look, but not for John, Dr. John over here says this or Dr. Joe over here says that. We're looking for what's the pathway, right? And that's when you understand how the body works and the biochemistry. So And we very quickly discovered that it has to do with some fatty liver. And I said to her, is this person experiencing any fatty liver? Have you done any blood tests? And she goes, oh, my God. And she went through this whole history of what. So it was fatty liver, and it was causing that, right? So then we knew, that's how we're going to address it. Similar thing with iron and ferritin. When you do a test, a lot of docs are either doing iron or they're doing ferritin. They're not doing both. Which is a mistake, because if we're functional practitioners, we want to look at the function and the combination of things. So when we looked at that, and I had somebody had high iron, low ferritin, Why would they have high iron and low ferritin? The body's supposed to naturally take the iron out of the blood and, you know, convert it into ferritin, the storage form, and you'd expect either high iron and high ferritin or low iron and low ferritin, and that's what most doctors are counting on, that that's what's going to be there, high iron, high ferritin. And so if it's low, they're going, oh, you're iron deficient anemia, let's just give you more iron. And if it's high, it's like, we're looking for iron storage diseases, we're looking for hemochromatosis, really. And so I had somebody who had high iron but low ferritin. So ever since some of these cases come in, I see it all the time, that disparity. And I was like, we've got to do both. And so we start looking it up. I'm like, high iron, low ferritin, probably something related to the liver and what's going on. Well, we found a pathway, that the pathway that converts the iron into the storage form of ferritin is a melatonin-dependent pathway. And if you don't have enough melatonin, you can't store it. I'm like, so I said to her, melatonin, I said, what, is that sound familiar? She goes, oh my God, I just had my whatever test done and my melatonin's low. I'm like, okay, right? But then, you know, she's taking melatonin, but we want to know why, right? Melatonin is produced from serotonin with B6, and which comes from tryptophan, and I think B6 might be an issue. So we start running those things, and well, why would you be low in B6? Well, I'm not taking any, and this is that, and it's happened. And she had Lyme disease, so a lot of things that were going on. And we look at the genetics. There's some genetic SNPs for B6 that affect your ability to convert and activate B6. And I see that in a fair number of people. So you see how it's not just one test. You want to understand and how all these things interact. And so iron and ferritin, if you're not running both, if you run labs, start running both and start to look for that, okay? All right, so who wants to share? Oh, we did. We shared. I don't even remember where we're at. Did anybody share? Anybody want to share where they are? Where their deficiency might be on the clinical? Okay, Susan. She's the only brave one that says yes, so.
Well, mine is similar to what hers was, and that is just that whole functional lab testing thing. It's just getting a better handle on that.
Yeah. And you're really moving along with that. And I know when you did a case, I had her present a case. I was mean because she wasn't in that long, but I felt that she could do it. So I was like, okay, present this your niece's case.
Yeah,
and she did an amazing, amazing job. She's amazing. So thank you. All right. So last column is the marketing and the business part. And my guess would be that most of you have the lowest proficiency there. That's always been my lowest proficiency. My self-care has been there for ages, except for my sleep, which is getting better. And my clinical skills, you know, with almost 30 years in practice and studying and teaching, my clinical skills are pretty good. But the marketing was always the part, like, how do I let people know that I'm good at this stuff? So I'd love to hear if anybody has low scores on the marketing business side. Yes? And who would like to share what one of those is? Anybody want to share? No? Yes? Well, yeah, you're new. Somebody who's been, you know, doing it for a while that wants to share one area that's a challenge for you. Anybody? Yeah? Okay, good. Thank you.
I don't have my name tag. Sorry, I left at 6:45 this morning, drove to Houston for something I couldn't miss, and came back.
Just oh, my gosh. What a gay.
I love y'all.
Most people would have just stayed in Houston.
No.
Thank you.
Yes.
I am honored.
So, oh, was it? I missed one of the tickets. Oh. I've had a practice for 2.5 years, and I will think of these amazing things to do a live video or something on, and then I'll be like, oh no, I just don't look good today. And I won't do it. I've only done probably 3 live videos, and then I'll make promises to follow up with more, and then I don't. I started paying someone to do my marketing for me. And she will ask, can I come in today and maybe do some videos or whatever? Oh, no, not today. Today's not a good day. I have a bad hair day. I have a bad day hair day every day because I don't ever want to fix it when I go to work. So, yeah, that's my bad.
All right. Okay, I'm going to ask who can relate to that one, that you're not willing to get on the videos. I like to stay home with my hair like unwashed, yeah, wet from being in the pool or something, in my bathing suit. And then I'll go, oh. And I finally got to the point where we started to do Zoom calls. It's like, wait a minute, I'm on a Zoom call every day. I got to get over this, right? If they come by my house to see me, they're going to see me with my hair however it is, with no makeup on and in my workout clothes. So I've gone on my call sometimes with, you've seen me with a wet head, because it's like, okay, I could either look good on the Zoom call and miss my exercise because I have to shower or whatever, I'm going to go for a swim, or I could just say, they can see me with wet hair, and it's not going to diminish my clinical skills, and they're going to see me as a real person. And I do this, and on Facebook Lives, I actually do a lot of Facebook Lives from my waterfall. Who's ever seen me do a Facebook Live from the waterfall, right? It's like, ugh, my hair's all a mess, I'm sweaty, but I do it, and I've gotten past that. I still, you know, when I want to make a special one, I'm having a hard time with. Do you have another one?
I just want to make a comment on that, that I have found that very encouraging, that you of all people out in the spotlight will come on to a call with us right after a run.
And sometimes it's like seconds, because right, I'm like, oh my God, right, I have to,
it's
get
like
on there, and
sweating.
I'm like, I'm glistening.
So,
thank you.
So yes, that just makes you more real and authentic.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, and there may be other people who don't think that, and maybe they're not my tribe. Right? The people in their high heels and their beautiful hair every day, okay, I'm not there to impress them. I'm there to serve. I'm there to serve. Okay, so what I want you now to do is to take what you wrote down at lunch, whether it was one, two, or three things, as to what it is that's the next thing that you need, and if you're willing, I would like to actually get everybody to do it, but that will take too long. But I would like to get at least five of you to state what it is. And I'd like to support as many as I can to just give you ideas. Because inevitably, what Karen might have written, might be similar to what Jill wrote or what Louisa wrote, right? And you're going to hear some things, and you'll hear and go, oh, I could do that. That sounds good. Does that sound reasonable? Is this helpful? Do you think this is helpful? Or would you like me to go through more case studies and data and left brain stuff? More of this? No. The other? Case studies? You're a geek. I have some slides, but I don't even remember what they are. Who would like me to go through slides and skip the implementation? No, the implementation is all in the slides. Or who would like to really get into the skip the slides and do what's your next step? Anybody? Nobody's answering, so it's late in the day. All right. You want slides? Okay, you don't want to be on the... Okay, so here's the thing. You're procrastinating something you need to do, right? This is what's going to take you to the next level step into what's next, right? And all of the things we've talked about here, we have resources to help you with. Right? But you can't just keep filling your head with knowledge, right? Knowledge without implementation is not good. So we'll finish up in a few minutes, and then we have something special we're going to do at the end. So Linda, make sure that Mira knows what we're doing at the end so we can be ready for that. And so does, and we need Angelica too. Okay, you remember this? That's our pillars. That's the order we want to go in: fun, restful sleep, exercise, environment, diet, outlook, and mindfulness. What do you think of this? We have this. Does anybody have this to hand out? We have one of these to hand out to everybody. So can we get this handed out, please? Okay. So we have this as a placemat size chart, okay? And I showed you this, I think, earlier, but I'm showing it to you again. So this is a way that you can look at each of the pillars. Let me just see how I can read that. And this is the how-to. Is this the one we have, or maybe this is? Did you hand that out this morning? Okay, so hand it out to whoever hasn't gotten one. This one, actually, we don't have. It's the other one. We have two of these charts, and it's listed as how do you assess these and what are some protocols that you can do. So this is the protocols that you can do. So if you haven't gotten one of these, take one, and if you have, then, you know, you have it. So you're, for micronutrients. So there's, it depends. It depends, right? So the Genova Diagnostic has NutriVal. NutriVal has a lot of things in it. It has an organic acid test in it. It has a fatty acid analysis test in it. It has, amino acids in it. It has actual amounts of the vitamins and minerals, but it also has some functionals. So it just depends on what you're going for. Budget-wise, they're close to the same. SpectraCell is just looking at levels in the white blood cells. Okay, so, you know, I would say play with it and see which one you tend to get more accurate information from. Okay, so you've got the one that we handed out. This is a test, okay. So we didn't get a copy of this, but you'll have it in the slides and you can print that out. But it's very helpful because then you can quick look. But what'd we say about protocols? We don't have them. This has to be customized. But this gives you, it's a cheat sheet to give you ideas of some of the things that you could be looking at. So we need to change people's pyramids, right? Their food pyramid, that was my food pyramid many years ago. Too much junk, too much processed. And I would start people wherever, not with one certain food to eliminate or one certain food to put in, but I would start with add before you subtract, and I would work with the person. So, how would it be if we added this? They tell you they're eating Dan and yogurt, and you go, wow, I have this recipe for coconut yogurt or cashew yogurt or some other kind of yogurt. Steph will say, lentil yogurt or butternut squash yogurt. I don't know how to make those things, but Steph does, and those of you who joined NEPT today will be getting access to 6 months as a bonus from Steph, 6 months in. And if those of you who are not or already in, go to friendlyfloracollective.com and get in. It's amazing. But what can you add, but then what can you take away? So the pyramid, in my opinion, should look like that. It should look like that. And then if they want to add, you know, some non-farmed deep ocean fish that's sort of, you know, from oceans that are not contaminated, they can. Or free-range organic pastured beef from where we know it's from and they're actually eating grass and grass-finished or whatever. Clean, but small amounts. Right? When Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, who's not a vegetarian, but he wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma because it's like, what are we doing to our planet with eating so much meat? And if we want it to be all consciously raised, there's no room on the planet to be able to sustain that. So when he was asked, how much animal product do you think the Earth can comfortably sustain if everybody ate animal products, he said about 4 ounces. Two 4 ounce servings a week, right? Beyond that, we're not leaving a very good carbon footprint, right? So we have to look at those aspects. Teach people about low glycemic alternatives to sweet, because, you know, sometimes you can do a direct swap. A lot of people think they're eating healthfully, so they're using whole wheat flour and they're using maple syrup or honey or other things, but it's still a high glycemic food, right? When Dr. Tom said this morning about which is higher glycemic index, it was the bread. Right, which is the same as the muffins and the things that people make things with. So great recipes. Karen has a great book on her site on low glycemic desserts that you can look at, and they're delicious. Karen and I wrote a book together called Dessert Making It Sweet Without Oil, right? Making It Rich Without Oil, and it's a non-oil dessert book, and all the sweets in there are whole food sweets. It's like raisins or dates. So it's not necessarily low glycemic. We've gone through and, you know, recreated some of those recipes, and she did some of those into her, in her book on low glycemics. But, you know, I found that if you have dates that you're going to put in and it's too high glycemic for someone, I take a soaked chia gel and add a low glycemic sweetener like one of these to it, and it has the gooiness of the date to hold it together and the sweetness. And we've made those kale brownies. We have this recipe in there for kale brownies. And every time I make that to take to a party, whether it's the low glycemic version or the full glycemic version, people are like, what is this? This is so delicious. Even Scott's family, when we brought them for Thanksgiving, like, these are so good, I can't stop eating them. So when we're working with people to change their diet, it's important to start with the basics. We always start with hydration. And Tony, who's one of our coaches, says she'll work with her people and she'll say, okay, the first thing I want you to do is drink half your body weight in fluid ounces of water if they're not. So she starts with hydration. And then when they come back in, she'll say, how are you doing with your hydration? And typically she'll hear, She goes, great, let me talk to you about the importance of that. Here's what I want you to do before the next visit. She will literally not add anything to their protocol until they get the water right, because she knows that no matter what else she adds, if they're dehydrated, they're not going to get better. And she's very adamant about that. And most of us are not. We just give them a whole bunch of stuff and hope they do it. And I think we need to set loving boundaries with people, right, to help them to actually follow through. So the hydration is super important. And the mindfulness piece, yoga, meditation, heart math, you know, and we like say, oh, we have to do this, but then they don't, and we don't push it because we don't make it like it's super important, and it is. And you're doing them a disservice because no matter how well they're eating, if their cortisol levels are going up as a result of being in that sympathetic state. So what we learned on yesterday was about the vagus nerve, and when you can start to get people into that parasympathetic healing state, all the other stuff you're going to do with them. So you can give them these supplements and herbs and tell them what to eat and make them more nervous and more stressed out because they can't do it, they don't want to do it, or you can do the things that are easy, right? Which is easier to say to somebody? Go have fun or hum or, you know, go hug people. Or go gluten-free, right? They're going to comply. They're going to start to see changes once they're hydrated. They're going to start to see changes once they've shifted from sympathetic to parasympathetic. And then you've got them, right? So every single person you work with, I want you to pick something that you know they will do and can be successful with and is going to move the needle for them. And you may be going, but they're still eating cookies. And they're still, okay, great. And then you can go, let's substitute those cookies for these cookies. Let's substitute that Hershey's Kisses for this homemade chocolate. Did anybody try Craig's little chocolate buttercup things? Oh, my God, they were so good. And it's really clean stuff, low glycemic sweetener, and you still feel like you're paying out, right? So teaching them those substitutions, swaps, food swaps, and we put on your site on the digital download page a food swap chart that we put together a couple of years ago. That is good, better, best. These are the things you want them to avoid. What's a good starting point substitution? What's a better one, and what might be the best one? And so they can feel confident when they just make a swap. Make a swap, right? And so movement, getting in the timers is really important. Keep it away from your body so Lynn doesn't start yelling at us about the EMFs. Keep it on airplane mode. You can still do the timer. Getting them eating whole fresh foods, getting them eating greens, getting them to be in doing the basic foundations. And I know this may sound like baby, you know, kindergarten level healthcare. But when I work with people, and we'll ask them after, you know, they've been doing whatever for a year, I go, well, how are you doing on your water? You go, yeah, I'm up to like a cup and a half a day or two cups a day, right? And they're going, I don't know why I'm not getting better. I'm taking all those supplements, and I'm assuming, I don't assume anymore, but I'm assuming they're doing the water because it was less than one, right? And I'm assuming they're doing that, and they're like, I don't understand. I still have this symptom. I still have that symptom. Why am I not getting better? So you have to ask the why. You have to go deep, and you have to reiterate, how are you doing with your water? And they go, oh, I'm doing fine. I'm drinking, I'm up to about a cup and a half a day. Right? You can't get better if you don't have the hydration.
I have a question about water. I have a friend that I've been trying to work with. She's has a lot of issues, And one of the things she refuses to do is to drink water. She said it hurts her to drink water. So what do
hurts
I get?
Hurts her where? Throat?
In her stomach. Belly? She said it just hurts. And I said, well, have you tried some lemon juice or apple cider vinegar within your water? And she said it hurts her. So I don't
I'd
know.
I'd be looking at what's going on with her epithelial lining in her stomach. What's going on with her lower esophageal valve? Does she have a hiatal hernia?
Don't know.
Right? Those are all things to be looking for when somebody says that water hurts. Yeah. Yeah. Good question. So I'm open for questions, right? There weren't much more slides anyway, right? You're tired of me asking you questions. How about if you ask me questions? Is that good? Okay, so can we get a mic runner so I can... Yeah, I'll give you the thing, but if we can get somebody to, if we're going to do multiple questions. And the best thing might be to just put that stand up, put the stand up, and we can just have them come up. We'll do a few minutes of questions. And then I have a really special activity. I know most people leave by the end of the conference. Shouldn't leave. And we'll take about 10 minutes of questions, and then we'll end with our closing activity. Okay? Is that good? You willing to stay a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. So Bobby has the mic, so you can
I have
do that.
The mic. This came up back here. It's not, but it's a good question, and I found it too. What about people who drink water but don't absorb the water?
Oh, great question. Awesome question. There, you have to ask why, right? Is it
why?
The type of water? Some people say the structured water versus not. Are there cells... You know, they're clogged, their cells are clogged, so it's not taking it in. What about their cell membranes? Do they have the right bilipid layers? You know, phospholipids, are they low in? That they're not, you know, pulling in the water because the cell membrane is not good? Is there just not the outflow, so you can't get the inflow? And then there's rehydration drops from Energetics, a company called Energetics that can help, and it helps to change some of those things. But the question would be, yeah, asking why. Right, and are they having toxicity symptoms, and are their cells toxic, and do they have enough phospholipids, and that kind of thing.
Right, and if you don't have available testing like all that, what are your top three choices for why people don't absorb water?
You're looking for a Band-Aid solution if you don't know, right? So my top, the ones I just said are problems. So I oftentimes will have them try the rehydration drops. Because sometimes it's the water, you know, when we go through all this processing with water, water as it flows from the mountains, right, the streams, it's moving, it's a living entity. And the molecules are lined in a way that they can get in, and then they get really out of sorts when they go through all kinds of filtration systems and whatnot. And, you know, so it changes the structure of the water, and sometimes there's these water restructure drops, these rehydration. So it could not be, maybe it's not them, maybe it's the quality of the water, and are they drinking tap water, and are there toxins in it, et cetera. Come up to the mic if you have. Thank you. You can bring that back up to me, but.
Bless the water.
What's that?
Bless the water.
Oh, yeah, bless the water is good, you know. I mean, that's energetically you're shifting it. Some people do vibrational things with it, like vortex it. So there's a lot of things like that.
Can I speak a little bit to that?
Yes, please.
So you also want to know what your minerals are, like your sodium, what your ratios are. Also, you need to know what your glucose is, because they all, as I have learned through you, play a part in how we absorb our water.
Right.
So.
Right. Right. So it's all the basic stuff that we teach you to check.
Oh, repeat that. Okay. I was like, what are you saying? So you want to know what your mineral nutrient levels are, especially your sodium, your sodium and potassium ratios. Also, what's your glucose? Because those are all part of the transport into your cells. So, and like you said, what's your stomach acid? Because if you're drinking too much water, it's flushing it all out. And those are all the foundational pieces. So that's why when people come to me and they say these things, I'm like, I got this. We start at the beginning.
Right.
We don't start up at the top. We start at the beginning. So anyway, I just wanted to...
That's a great point, start at the beginning, because a lot of times we want to start where the symptoms are. Oh, you're having hot flashes. What are the herbs? What are the things that could cause... Well, what are the things that could cause hot flashes? Well, digestive imbalance, blood sugar imbalance, thyroid imbalance, and especially adrenal. Adrenal imbalance, because same precursors make cortisol as make the sex hormones, right? Good question. Anybody else? Anything from the live stream, Lynn? Open for questions. Okay, this is the last. Okay. Give her a mic so she didn't have to come running. There's three mics. There should be three mics.
Here we go.
Oh, there's two of them here, right?
Okay, so Ivana actually came on earlier today. She had gotten a text at 3 a.m. from her daughter that her 20-year-old granddaughter had gallstones, so she was having a gallbladder attack. And so they're scheduling her for surgery this coming week. Yeah.
Not at
so
that age.
All of us on here that know better have been giving her ideas, but she would like to know from you some alternative solutions for getting rid of gallstones.
The first thing I do with people when they're in the middle of an acute gallbladder attack is I tell them to stop eating. And it doesn't mean like water fasting, it doesn't have to be, but no fat and no solids, because any food that comes in will cause a contraction. Cholecystokinin gets released, and it tells the gallbladder to contract and release bile, and we want to avoid that, right? It depends on where the stones are. If they're in the common bile duct and they're large, we do have to be very careful, and that could be a surgical emergency. I will tell you, though, I worked with a very stubborn man who was having an attack. I said, go get a gallbladder ultrasound, send him for a gallbladder ultrasound. And he had a large stone stuck. He was nauseous. He had all the symptoms of, this is a medical emergency. And he said, I don't want to do it. What can I do? I said, first of all, stop eating. Stop eating. No solid food. And I put him in touch with I wasn't willing to do it alone. I put him in touch with a local MD who's, you know, known to be more holistic. And we helped him. We had him just drink lots of water, slowly sipping to get it by. We had him take some herbs to help break it down, some digestive enzymes, and everything needs to be powdered when we're doing this, or liquid, because we don't want the cellulose capsules to risk, you know, getting anything going through that area, right? Because it's there, and it was almost a complete blockage. And I told him, this is a medical emergency. And, you know, as alternative as I am right now, the only thing I can really responsibly tell you is you do probably need surgery. No, we got this other MD involved. He was willing to, you know, give him, you know, work with us. And we put him on, like, Chancre Piedra, which is an herb that helps to break down the stones. And he fasted for like 5 days, just taking a few of these herbs in tincture form, and it resolved. So I was currently at that time, I was just taking herbal course with David Winston. So I got on the call with David Winston, and he says, oh, they will, you know, from an herbal perspective, no, he has to have surgery. He says, they will. He says, sometimes you'll see them go back into the gallbladder, we'll see it go away, but usually it's because they're getting pulled back in, and they're going to come out another time. So I said, okay, well, this guy wants to try this. So we did, and he went back in and got his ultrasound done. And at the time, his ultrasound had the big old stone stuck in the common bile duct. He had a lot of little stones in the gallbladder, and he had sludge in the liver. It was awful. He redid it. The common bile duct big stone was gone. Most of the little granular ones in the gallbladder were gone, and the sludge in the liver was almost all gone. So it can happen, but it can be a medical emergency. Most of the time, though, they just take the gallbladder without it being a medical emergency, right? They're just taking it because they don't know any better, and they don't want to be liable if this person dies from having an obstructed common bile duct. So I would see if they can find somebody who's more functional and holistic to help them, and you know, do some herbal stuff, but on their own, I mean, I don't know because I don't know how big the stone is and how much obstruction there is, right? If there's small stones in the gallbladder, you know, that's easy. We can take care of that with the right diet and lifestyle, but if it's a big old stone stuck in the bile duct, it becomes dangerous, okay? All right, I guess we're done with questions. Oh.
What is the best company, or best lab company, Dr. Ramri, for the iodine loading test?
Okay, so good question. Iodine loading test, you asked me about this before. What's the best test for iodine? I personally like the iodine load test, and I like Hakala Lab, H-A-K-A-L-A. H-A-K-A-L-A. Now, they don't do California anymore, so Doctors Data does have it. The reason I like Hakala is because they will send you the iodine tablet for the load test. If you go through Doctor's Data, they don't. You have to go buy a whole bottle of Iodorol to do the challenge, right? So I like the Hakala, but California did something and shut them down.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.